Please turn to the text of Psalm 51, which begins on page 181 in the front of your hymn book, and we'll chant Psalm 51, as indicated, with the officiant chanting the odd-numbered verses and the assembly the even-numbered verses, but we're going to add a little wrinkle to this today. You have the English text before you, and I'm going to chant the text of the odd-numbered verses in the language in which they were originally written, in the Hebrew language. Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so far the reading. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews employs a particular line of reasoning and argumentation over and over and over again throughout his letter. He makes extensive use of comparing and contrasting things. It's almost as though someone had given him an essay topic. Compare and contrast the old covenant established by God with his people Israel through the mediation of Moses with the covenant which God establishes with the Holy Christian Church through the mediation of his Son in human flesh. At great length, he compares and contrasts the way things were under the Old Testament with the way things are in the time of fulfillment when the Christ has come. His thinking proceeds from the lesser things to the greater things, from inferior things to superior things, from shadows to things that have substance, from symbols to the realities that they symbolize, from the many and repeated aspects of Old Testament worship to the unity and uniqueness of the time of fulfillment in Christ. He takes up the many aspects and facets of Old Testament worship, the tabernacle, its design and its furnishings, the sacrifices, the holy days and seasons of the Old Testament calendar, the office, duties, and actions of the Old Testament priests. Under the Old Testament, only the descendants of Aaron from the tribe of Levi served in the office of priest. Not just anybody in Israel could decide to become a priest. The office was instituted by God and filled by those whom he chose. But the Christ is the divinely appointed great high priest. He serves in a higher and more enduring office than any descendant of Aaron from the tribe of Levi. The law of Moses set down the specifications for the place where the Old Testament priesthood served, with meticulous attention to detail. The planning, the construction, and the furnishing of the tabernacle were all laid out. God manifested his presence in the midst of his people in that place, but the Christ served in a greater sanctuary, not one made with human hands, but which consisted of the very presence of God. The Old Testament high priest entered the most holy place every day on the great day of every year, on the great day of atonement, and he did so year after year. But the Christ entered the presence of God once, and with a finality never to be repeated. The priests of the Old Testament offered the prescribed sacrifices, which involved the blood of cattle and goats and sheep. The Christ offered up himself and presented his own sacrificial blood to God. Again and again, the writer holds up the supremacy of fulfillment in Christ over all that is found in the Old Testament. What was under the old order of the Old Testament pointed beyond itself to what was to come and to be fulfilled in Christ. That was its purpose. The former things had to be repeated because they did not have enduring intrinsic value. But in the time of fulfillment, the things connected to the person and work of Christ have lasting validity, which renders repetition of them unnecessary. The former things signified and symbolized. The latter things are the reality. The shadows become reality in the time of fulfillment. Our reading for today, a part of the Old Standard Epistle for the fifth Sunday in Lent, employs the same kind of argumentation. Under the Old Covenant, there were specifications for ritual cleansing. The writer here is alluding to a particular account in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 19 lays out how to deal with the uncleanness that was associated with contact with the dead. Death is the ultimate dirty thing, the ultimate consequence of all that is wrong with the human condition. It calls for cleansing. The ritual involving the ashes of the perfect specimen of the red heifer provided that cleansing. It allowed those who had become unclean and cut off from the people to be cleansed and reinstated into the fellowship of God's people once again. From this, the writer proceeds in classic fashion to his conclusion, arguing from the lesser things to the greater things. If that was the case under the old covenant, then how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Here is the ultimate cleansing provided by God, which addresses everything associated with sinfulness and death. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us from all sin. His sacrifice cleanses the conscience and makes one unafraid before God. We have a great high priest who has done it all for us. And by his gospel and word and sacrament, his sacrificial blood is applied to each one of us. And in that sacrificial blood, we are cleansed. Our worship is the celebration of that cleansing. At the conclusion of this service today, we're going to hear a very festive piece involving organ and brass instruments. Perhaps we don't associate that kind of music with the somber tones of Lent and the approach of Holy Week. The piece is actually the finale of J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. In it, Bach wove together the joy of the celebration of the coming in the flesh of the Son of God with the somber reflection of the purpose of that coming, his work as our great high priest in providing redemption through his blood. And so Bach features a melody in this piece that we associate with Lent, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. And the words which were to be sung by the choir to this melody were these: Now vengeance hath been taken on all the foes of man, and Christ doth end in triumph the conflict that he began. God in human flesh has become our great high priest. In him is perfect redemption. You are sprinkled with his sacrificial blood, and therefore you are clean, and blessed are you in that gospel cleansing. Amen. And let us pray. We beseech you, Almighty God, mercifully to look upon your people, that by your great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore in both body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.